Hey everybody, this is Billy Gilman, and you're listening to the Positive Psychology of Pop Music. Today when I see your
lipstick stain on my last night shirt. Hey there, and welcome to the Positive Psychology of Pop Music, the podcast and radio show full of moving music and inspiring messages from your favorite artists. I'm Wesley Ryan, and I am over the moon this week to share my exclusive interview with an artist who's been inspiring me and millions of people since he was 11 years old. As a kid, Billy Gilman created some of the most beautiful and uplifting songs I've ever heard. But as an adult, Billy's journey to become and embrace the man he is today touched millions of viewers on The Voice and has allowed him to become a beacon of hope and a positive role model for LGBT youth around the world. I was so grateful Billy took the time to chat with me about his journey, especially knowing he was under the weather at the time. But realizing Billy Gilman is a man of commitment, dedication, and integrity is something that happened multiple times during our chat, and I cannot wait to share it with you. Well, I am going to wait about 4 minutes because I need to start the show with my absolute favorite song from Billy Gilman. It's a track he recorded just a couple of years back, and it's the song that reintroduced me to this amazingly talented singer and person. This is Billy Gilman with Say You Will. Well, I have to start with, you know, the beginning. You were so young when your professional journey began, at least. And, you know, I don't remember anything when I was 10 or 11, but what do you remember? What do you remember most about what was probably such a crazy time?
You know, I remember quite a bit, actually. You know, I mean, it was always like on to the next thing, on to the next thing. So it was very hard to soak the moment in, you know. Luckily, you know, my whole childhood is unfortunately and fortunately, depending on how you look at it, is on YouTube. So I can go back and remember. But I remember being just, you know, I singing is what I am and singing is what I do. So it was just, I was totally in the moment all the time and just, that was my happiness. It wasn't, you know, the meetings or the platinum records. It was just being on stage and getting to sing those songs to people. You know, that was the memory that always lasts. You know, I remember more concerts than I do instances. Like, I remember the people. I don't remember, like, that award show that I walked, the red carpet I walked or whatever. I remember some of the shows stick out more than the perks, I guess. So I guess I was in it for the right reason even then, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's so impossible for someone so young to have such a massive hit. Why do you think one voice connected with so many people?
Well, unfortunately, I think this world needs, you know, good messages. And it's amazing how the song, you know, it's almost 18 years old and it still stands up. It's timeless. You know, the world craves at certain points, you know, music that unites us. And, you know, I still sing it and people still feel the same way. You know, it's sad that we have still the same problems in this world. But the song sure is timeless because I stand up, you know, night after night still, and it still means the same. And if not more, because I'm older, you know.
I watched a performance that you did on Memorial Day of There's a Hero. It was beautiful. And I was just wondering, you know, to sing those songs now and to really understand them more deeply as an adult, you know, what does that feel like?
You know, the more I do them, the more meanings I find within them, and different instances I can put myself into, you know, as an adult. It's amazing to me to have a catalog that I can still sing and be proud of. It wasn't like a, it's not like, you know, I want candy, you know, they gave me songs that meant something.
Yeah.
And I don't think they knew that they were doing that at that point. It just was luck of the draw, I believe. But I'm very fortunate to have these songs. And, you know, I'm a ballad singer. That's what I do. That's what I love. And I'm glad I got some songs with some meat on them to be able to carry on. You know, it's not songs that, you know, we're gone in 5 minutes, you know, it's songs that I can still relate to and the world can still relate to. And, you know, one voice about the guns and violence and in school systems and in the world. And then, of course, There's a Hero, which is about, you know, overcoming obstacles and finding your inner strength. I mean, that, you know, everyone can rectify and recognize their own self within those lyrics at some point in your life. So, yeah, I'm very happy to be the catalyst of such great lyrics and great melodies.
There's a hero in everybody's heart.
One of the things that I've heard you talk about, which really inspired me, was, you know, you were known for your childhood voice, and, you know, as someone who went from like a very high-pitched to a bass in like the span of 3 weeks somehow, you know, I can only imagine what it was like to feel like your whole career and your passion, you know, could change. So I wanted to know how it felt, you know, you're on The Voice and they don't know who you are, they can't even see you, and this adult voice that you've created, and to have Alicia Keys and Miley Cyrus and that everybody turn around, what did that feel like?
Well, that was what kept me from doing it in the first place. They had asked, they believed that my story and my history and my past would be a great asset for the show. And they asked for like 4 seasons in a row. And Angela, my manager, she'd, you know, get the emails, of course, and then she'd bring it to my attention and I'd instantly say no. Well, this last time it came back and I stopped. I didn't say anything. And when she gives an interview or someone asks her, she says, I'll never forget, he didn't say a word. So I thought, maybe I'm getting to him now. You know, I was scared because, you know, in my head, I thought, well, if I can't do it on my own, then America and the world just doesn't want to hear Billy Gilman anymore. You know, it's simple as that. So if I can't do it on my own, I don't want to do it at all. But then, you know, I knew that coming back and as my voice was getting stronger, and it took a long time for my voice to change too, well into my 20s before it really, really was solid. And I knew that I was singing in a way that not many men can. And I was, you know, I really said to myself, you know, obviously the voice is back, the gift is back, you got to use it. And why not use it in such a way to inspire someone to never give up? You know, set your ego and your pride aside, because that's so stupid. And you know, say you'll stop at nothing to achieve your dream, and it shows other people that they shouldn't stop either, and go for it in whatever phase or whatever element or whatever, you know, however big or small, you know, you don't stop. I always have to find some inspiration about never giving up or perseverance within a situation for me to really pull it off, because I was not going home without a chair turn. There was no way. And in fact, when I did Adele, I did the Adele song, for people that don't remember, it ends soft. So I did all the rehearsals leading up to that completely, you know, when we were young, very soft. And so Adam had turned. So we're after the rehearsals, I've done it this one specific way, and comes down to the live show. I'm doing it, and Adam turned and Miley turned. And then towards the end of the song, I'm like, oh, come on, I can get the next two. Let's go. So I said to myself, I'm going to hold the note at the end. And the vocal coaches that work with you and everything afterwards, they were like, where did that come from? I said, I wasn't finished. They didn't turn yet.
My God, this reminds me.
Welcome back to the Positive Psychology of Pop Music, where this week we're spotlighting the incredibly talented and inspiring Billy Gilman. You just heard his cover of Rachel Platten's Fight Song, which helped propel him to last year's runner-up slot on NBC's The Voice. It was one of many motivational tracks he sang on that show that not only showcased his incredible voice, but also the determination and perseverance he's shown in his career and his personal life. Coming out is a brave step for anyone, but especially so for a male country artist. Billy's story personally inspired me more than he'll ever know, and I so appreciated his willingness to share the thoughts and experiences he had during such an important point of his life with me and with you. Well, I think so many people connected with your story of just perseverance and, you know, coming back to do music your way now, but you've been such a personal inspiration to me. You know, I was raised in a very homophobic environment. I didn't come out until I was 24, and, you know, it was very, very rough for a long time. And when you, you know, did your video, your story, your coming out, I imagine it had to be very scary to put yourself on this huge national platform in that way as well.
Oh, without a doubt. I've always been very, very private. I was reluctant to get a Twitter. I was reluctant to do all of that social media stuff because I didn't feel it was anyone's business to Instagram and you see a selfie of me in my kitchen. I never understood why people needed to know that. But that's the way the world works, and I need to get with the times. And so I am very, very, very private. And I thought that, you know, my music is good enough with people, and if you can't connect with that, then you just can't connect with me. You don't need to know me. Well, this is not the way it works. And so I was already out to my parents and to my family, but not to the world, because in my head I thought, well, people knew me as a country artist. I'm going to stick with that, knowing that I can sing pop and sing these great big ballads. But I always thought, you know, the first recognition was with country, so I need to stick with that. And, you know, that's a situation that's a little bit slow on the uptake on acceptance. So I hit it. And I was at a festival or whatever, part of a outdoor concert thing or whatever. And a local reporter from my state saw me with my partner and wanted to take a picture. And in that moment, I knew that it was going to become a bigger problem if I didn't say something. So there was a very high profile magazine that approached me wanting to do the feature, but I didn't want to do it as a publicity stunt. I wouldn't seek it that in that light. And I didn't want it to look that way. Oh, he's going to sell a record, so he's going to make this story. So I opted to do it on YouTube. And if it were to go viral, well, that's on its own merit, not because of some magazine cover. And boy, did it go viral. And then, you know, I realized after I came out, the meetings that I had with my team, some of my team players were still in Nashville. And they said, you know, we weren't going to speculate or tell you. So we're never going to push the fact. But you don't know the stigma that lies within your name. Is he, is any, you know, the hindrance that it caused my career. And I never knew that. You know, I was just being me and doing my thing. And I finally realized I needed to get happy. So, yeah, it was a very tough situation on more than just professional, but personal as well. And I'm glad I did it because, well, first of all, I would never have gone on The Voice and done what I did with the Celine songs and the Adele songs. And, you know, coming out forced me to really make the move because I knew I was in an industry that's really slow on wanting to have an out gay artist on their rosters and on their radio waves, which is fine. That, listen, they'll get there when they want to get there. I give respect and I want it in return. So they'll get there eventually. But I'm happy that I came to grips with my happiness and my person and myself and in my soul, because it did enable me to find this new chapter. I don't think it would have happened if I hadn't come out.
I can definitely relate to that. I think your dad on the show said something like he couldn't imagine not being able to live your life as yourself. So, you know, the yep. world has changed so much for the better, but I still have listeners contact me who are teenagers in the closet and they're terrified to tell, you know, their parents or anyone. What advice would you give to those people who are still struggling with accepting themselves and acceptance from others?
You know, find solace, find your escape. If you cannot, I see it so often, kids that just don't have that support at home. And then you're scared. Do you want to get kicked out of your house? Do you want to be homeless? I mean, that is a real factor in this world. And it's disgusting to me. You know, I think love is love. And if you truly love your child and you truly had a child for the right reasons, it won't matter if they're black, white, gay, straight, pink, purple, married an elephant. If you truly love, you come from a place of love and forgiveness and acceptance. And it's baffling how we're still behind in that. But we're getting there. I really think we're getting there. And the more stories that are told, it creates, unfortunately, a normality, even though it should automatically be normal. You know, I just think the more we attack it with respect, you know, we'll get respect back. You know, I truly believe that. And that's, you know, that's why I try to do as many prides as I can. And, you know, I do a lot under the radar that people don't know. Cause everything shouldn't be about a cover story or a headline. You know, it should really be about, because it's your life and it's your mission. So yeah, I think that the more we do and the more we discuss and the more we fight it head on, but in a respectful way, the better the world will be for others coming up in the ranks that are having harder times. In the Bible Belt, in the Midwest, you know, where they're very conservative. You know, I'm a registered Republican. So, I mean, we are of all types, you know, and we're worthy of love and worthy of respect. because we are who we are.
Billy's advice isn't something I heard when I was struggling with accepting my sexuality, so I hope his words find their way to as many young people as they can. But what he had to say doesn't just ring true for LGBT folks, it applies to us all. We all go through difficult times in our lives, and finding our unique talents and voices can help us celebrate our strengths and put all of our energy into something positive. That's what I've tried to do with the show, it's what I hope you're all able to do, and it's what Billy's been doing since he was a little kid. With two more tracks that showcase the power of the human spirit and the need to be ourselves, this is Billy Gilman with We Go On and Anyway.
We go on, we go on,
Well, I love how you said, you know, to find your solace, because I was that kid who, you know, had depression. I was suicidal and no one had any idea what I was going through for years. But music was what helped me every single day. That's what got me through. So I was wondering if there were any songs, you know, from your teenage years, your childhood, that helped you kind of deal with all of those emotions and feelings.
Not a song in particular. It's funny how I'm a singer and a lyricist, but I don't identify with lyrics. Like, I get touched and I cry and I'm moved. But I never had songs I went to escape. It was the entire thing. It was the voice. It was the progression of the chords. It was the belting. Me being the vehicle for it was my escape. So in other words, I wouldn't listen to a song. I would sing. I would go into my music room and just shut it all off and just sing for hours. And that would realign me. So I really didn't have songs that touched me, that made me not feel alone or what have you. I would sing to release it and to escape and to ignore. And so, yeah, it's a different facet of that, I guess.
Well, it's interesting because that makes so much sense with, you know, all the critics who talk about your voice. And I think even Adam said it on the show. There's a quality about you that you can feel every single emotion that you're putting into it, regardless of the words.
Well, I hope so, because I heard so many times, oh, it's just technical. It's all technical. Yeah. All he does is hit the note. And I'm like, didn't you just see me cry my eyes out like a jerk on this show? Like, I'm not a crier at all. Like, it's rare that I cry. And that's all I did on that damn show. I was so embarrassed. But I'm like, well, I guess they're provoking a nerve in me that's wanting to let it all out. And so, I guess it was very flattering that they said that about my voice. But I guess, you know, us singers and performers, we only see the negative. We don't see the positive.
Yeah.
At this point in my career, I've been able to ask over 50 of my favorite artists what songs have really inspired them in their lives. But this was the first time I've heard an artist talk more about the escape they felt just engaging in singing and emoting any song. It makes perfect sense, though, when you consider that Billy's been singing his own songs for so long, and when you think about just how much his voice and his gift mean to him. And while I certainly have nowhere near Billy's talent, I'm lucky if I can do a karaoke number without emptying the place. I certainly related to the power of music in releasing his emotions. This may surprise you, but I don't really cry very easily. That's probably pretty shocking, given how sensitive I am and how much I talk about feelings on this show. But it was strongly conveyed to me growing up that boys shouldn't cry, and it conditioned me in such a way that it is incredibly difficult for me to let my walls down and show that part of myself to anyone at all. But as is often the case for me and so many others, music can cut right through all of the walls and all of the fears and just let out emotions we've held back and that sometimes we didn't even know were there. Case in point, the next two Billy Gilman tracks I'm about to play for you. I've recently found myself in situations where the lyrics to both of these songs applied, and yet I hadn't really dealt with the emotions I was feeling. That is until I heard these songs, and streams of tears involuntarily shot out of my eyes. We all need a good cry sometimes, and to get in touch with, and release, whatever feelings we have. So, whether or not you experience them as dramatically as I did, I hope these next two tracks do that for you. This is Billy Gilman with Wishing You Were Here and his stunning cover of Celine Dion's I Surrender.
We need to knock down the walls. By now there should be no fear. We can't please them all. That I won't promise. I surrender.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I was rewatching some of the YouTube clips this morning, and I was full-blown ugly crying in my office to I Surrender. And
oh my gosh,
the Kelly Clarkson duet that you did in the finale.
That was probably my top favorite moment. The funniest thing was everyone else had their songs they were going to do with their duets, their celebrity duet things, and I didn't have a song. I learned the song during rehearsal. She was teaching me the melody 8 minutes before we were to go live to tape.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm like, all right, nothing like a little tying up loose ends right on the spot. But yeah, that was one of my favorite moments, just overcoming that situation alone. And the orchestra was beautiful. And to sing with Kelly Clarkson, I mean, she walks into the room and you wouldn't even know it was her. She's so normal and so loving and so real. And yet she's had, I mean, 20, 25 top five hits. I mean, she's ridiculous. So it was quite the honor. It really was. That was one of my favorite moments for sure.
Well, I tell you, I've loved hearing all the covers and, you know, reliving all of your classic songs, but I'm really excited for new music from you. What's on the pipeline? What's coming?
Yeah, new music. I just got some new lyrics sent to me today for a song. We're working on it hard. You know, you have to wait a little bit until the voice releases you and there's contractual stuff that you have to abide by. So that kind of stalls you. But that's normal with a show like that. But yeah, working on new music, working on a possible dance track for one of the songs that's already been released, which I'm very excited about. It sounds really killer. And working with Celine Dion's producer, Walter Afanasieff, which I'm very excited about. One of the melodies is so beautiful, and and I wrote the lyrics about recognizing that you're worth it and you're worthy, and every storm, you know, has a beautiful day afterwards. So it's a really great, touching song and a beautiful melody. And like I said today, I just got a lyric sheet by Charlie Midnight, who wrote so many Britney Spears, Hilary Duff, so many hits. And he just wrote the lyrics to a really catchy up-tempo thing. So we're working hard every day as I was doing the concerts and everything. You know, it's a juggling act, but we're excited. Hopefully the next few months we'll have something out.
Well, I'm going to make my way up to Birmingham this weekend and catch you at Pride. I'm super excited about it.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I hope I'm over this cold so I can I can deliver.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate you taking the time, especially with you being sick, too.
Are you kidding? It's my pleasure. It takes my mind off the coffin.
Well, seriously, man, thanks for the interview. And just on a personal level, just for being such an inspiration for, you know, out people in the Bible Belt, just trying to follow our passion and do our thing. You've inspired so many people, man.
You know, we have to. The more people realize that we're humans too. As sick as that sounds, it's crazy, but it baffles me every single day. But I hear so many stories when I always do meet and greets, always. I mean, if there's 7,000 people in that line, I will stay 5 hours to make sure I see everyone. And the stories that I hear about people saying, "You made my parents get it. I didn't kill myself. My mother finally gets it, and I'm her son again. We have a great relationship." That's bigger than winning The Voice or having a number one record. You're changing lives. You're saving someone. So, you know, I'm happy with that direction, and I'm happy that I can be, you know, a voice to people. And that means more than any platinum record, that's for sure. So I appreciate you saying that. It means a lot.
I can personally attest to Billy's commitment to his fans and to having a positive impact on as many people as he can. The way he interacted with the crowd at Central Alabama's Pride event back in June was truly remarkable, and it was clear that he wanted every single person there to leave feeling good about themselves and their place in the world. He was even gracious enough to do some additional promo pics with me in the middle of his vocal warm-ups. And before I forget, allow me to thank Angela Bakari, Linda Lewis, and Destiny Clark for arranging my interview and my promo shots with Billy. Destiny especially was willing to make time to help me out in the midst of the amazing job she did putting together such a wonderful Pride event. It was a night of acceptance and support that I don't often get to feel, and Billy even shoved the microphone in my face during the show when he caught me singing along to One Voice. And while he likely immediately regretted that decision, I make no apologies for knowing and loudly singing Billy's first hit, and I will continue to do so to what I know will be some amazing new music from him in the future. You can head to BillyGilman.com to keep a lookout for that new music and to check out all of his latest projects and shows. For more information on the positive psychology of pop music, you can head to ThePositivePsychologyOfPopMusic.com and on iTunes, where new episodes are released every Wednesday. I want to thank Billy Gilman one more time for chatting with me, for all of his music, and for all the inspiration he's given to so many people, just by being true to himself. That's the message I want to leave you with, in the spirit of the final Billy Gilman performance in this episode. For the Positive Psychology of Pop Music, I'm Wesley Ryan, and with his uplifting version of My Way, this is Billy Gilman.